guys mind? Can we just sing that chorus over time? If you can just sit for a minute, close your eyes real fast. I'm not going to sing. I'm going to have Nina. Oh, missed the whole moment up. Just sit in the presence of the Lord for a few seconds.
I think I'm muted. Oh, there we go. And holy, there is no one like you. There is no beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder, Jesus, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in love to lonesome. Sing holy and holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. And open up our eyes in the wonder of your presence, Jesus, show me. Oh, who you are and fill us with your heart and lead us in your love to those around me. God, I pray that we would not forget that we are in the presence of greatness right now. I'm just at a loss for words right now. Just to know that the Lord of Lords, the great I am, our King of victory, the one who defeated death, the one who is seated on high, the God who sees, the God who knows, the God who heals, the God who is in control, the God who is in power, the God of all the universe, the Alpha and the Omega. We are in the presence of greatness. So God, I pray that we would humbly offer ourselves as a sacrifice to you, that we would offer our bodies, our voices, our hands, our feet, our minds, our heart, our focus to you as a sacrifice of worship this morning, God. God, we know that you are already here, but we welcome you into our lives. We welcome you into this space. And we say, God, would you speak to us? Would you change us? Would you shift the atmosphere in this place? Would you bring healing? Would you bring restoration? Would you show us that you're doing a new thing this morning? Would you speak to us? And I just ask that we would listen. Pray that you would speak through Jameson this morning. I thank you for the words that you have given him, the message that you placed in his heart, and the passion that you've given him to share that with us this morning. So God, we welcome you. We're here. We're listening. And would you speak? So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Things we have to continue to learn is practicing the presence and not being so anxious to rush the next thing. And I know how many, it's hard just to sit. And it's hard for me just to sit. This is not even my notes, but I remember about 5 years ago, I was in a accelerated leadership with Duke here, and they took us to this place where you just go and you just sit in silence for 20 minutes. It took me about a minute to want to rush out of there and want to kick the doors. I'm like, I don't want to do this. This is stupid. And but I've learned now the power of sitting in the presence. What God wants to speak, what he wants to share. Not coming with just my thoughts, but God, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to do in me? part of when we even come together. My job and responsibility is to help us move our hearts more worshipful to God, for us to understand when he's speaking, when he's moving. Sometimes he just wants to wait. We love the scripture, be still and know that I am God, right? First part, be still. Chill out. Let the thoughts stop running. Next, 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 next. What's the next thing I gotta do when I get out of here? What's next? What's the next thing I have to do? But to be still and know that I am God. To be still and to know that I am God. How many know God is good? God is so good. Let me jump in. I'm trying to see how to transition over to my message. That's what I want. Let me see. All right, here we go. Hello, good morning. My name is Jameson, one of the pastors here. There we go, hard turn. I get to serve. Man, this is an incredible church. I'm telling you, I don't know about y'all, but I think we have an incredible church with incredible people who love God, who love each other. I'm telling you, anybody here love our church, this incredible family? I'm telling you, it's more than just showing up. It's getting connected. It's doing life. It's hearing stories. It's growing together, maturing together. So it's huge. It's not just coming to show it up, but it's family, man. It's family and doing life together. And I so love this incredible church and amazing leaders and all those things. For those who are watching online, thank you for being with us. I'm trying to do dual in person and online, and we have many people who are still watching us online, not just in Omaha, but Pittsburgh, I heard. St. Louis, friends in St. Louis are watching. I heard even internationally people are watching and tuning in to CLB in Omaha, Nebraska. And so COVID has helped us to be able to continue to do kingdom work and to reach people and to see those who are far from Christ come into the powerful saving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so methods change, but we are still on mission. Methods change, but we are still on mission. So if you hear me saying online, all that kind of stuff, I don't want to miss the people, real people who are watching and tuning in that are not in person. So I'm excited for what God is doing and all those great things. Okay, let's jump in. We are in Romans. If you have your Bibles, jump with me over to Romans 6. Jump with me over to Romans 6. I'm going to be doing a lot of scripture reading this morning. And I'm going to try to pull out all that I can in a short amount of time. So bear with me. I'm going to try to talk as quickly as I can, but we'll see what happens. Six, I'm going to read the first few verses to eight verses. It says this: well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Pause real fast. I meant to do this before. I'm all over the place. Forgive me. But I just want you to know, I just want to celebrate somebody real fast. Sorry. Sadie, you guys don't know who's playing the bass. She's going to kill me after this. That's what I didn't tell her. But she is leaving, headed to Colorado to do an internship in Colorado for ministry. And she's been killing it here. She's been amazing. She interned with us, children's and worship. Can we give it up to Sadie? Love you, Sadie. You're going to kill me, but she's been amazing. I remember when I showed up a couple years ago, she was just picking the bass a little bit and trying to figure out what to do. And now I'm seeing her doom, 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 doom. And so I love her growth. She's been killing it. We love you so much, Sadie. All right. All right. All right. My girl. My girl. Okay. Romans 6. I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place. I'm so happy to see y'all faces. I'm so happy. All right. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died of sin, how can we continue to live in it? Question mark. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? Question mark. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Verse 5, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. I love that. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we die with Christ, we're set free from the power of sin. I'm going to say verse 7 again. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. This is a powerful text. This is an amazing text. It is a rich text. And so the message, the title of my message this morning is, excuse me, I have a question. Excuse me, I have a question. If you read this, you see question marks all through the opening of 6. I've recognized questions are good. Questions help us bring clarity. Help us to provide information that we need. I'm not a big questions guy. I'm more of an exclamation point guy. But I know we need questions. People come to my office, I got a question. I said, I hope I can answer it. I got a question. What they're really saying is, I need clarity. I need to know some information that I don't have privilege to. I need to know questions. And it's good to ask questions. It helps us think cognitively on ideas. It helps us form things on what we believe. Even biblically, it is good to ask questions. I want you to understand, God can handle your questions. God can handle your questions. When I was young, teenager, growing up in the church, I got some PKs in the building. Your dad's a pastor. My dad was a pastor in church every weekend, and I used to have questions. Why would God do this? How does God do this? How does God work? I had questions, and I come to find out it's okay to ask questions because God can handle your questions. And this morning, Paul wants to answer a question for us. He's setting us up and informing Christians, here's how you should live. Here's how you should walk. But he wants us to understand this, is that there is freedom in Christ. There is freedom in Christ. He wants us to understand sin and grace. And the biggest thing is the freedom that comes with following God. He wants us to unravel this in our lives. And I don't know, maybe you're here this morning and it was communicated this morning. Maybe you walked in with some heaviness in your life. Maybe you've come in and you've been struggling with some addictions. I'm going to go a little deep this morning, try to hang, but I'm going to try to hit on some things. Maybe you're struggling with some addiction this morning. Maybe it's food addiction. Maybe it's pornography addiction. Maybe it's alcohol addiction. Maybe someone's who's struggling with some issues of pride and self-righteousness. Maybe you walked in feeling shame and that there is no hope for your life. Maybe you came in just see, I can maybe sneak in. No one will see me. No one will see what I've been struggling with. As long as I put a smile on my face, people will know I'm doing okay. I don't know what you walked in with this morning. Wide range of things. But here's what I want you to know. There is freedom in Christ. There is hope for your life. And Paul explains this here. He, in the previous chapters, was talking about justification. It's this process in which we go through for eternal life. He was revealing this to us. That God not only liberates sinners from the penalty of sin, that's called justification, but also he shows us how to live free from the power of sin, which is called sanctification. How do we live from under the power of sin? So he answers this question. First, he starts out, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? If you're a new believer, maybe you've been following Christ for a long time, or maybe you're on different sides. We ask this question, can I keep on being me? Can I keep on doing me? I love God, but I want to keep on doing me. Can I keep on living how I want to live? Can I keep on talking how I want to talk? Can I keep on doing it how I want to do? As long as I love God, I can do me. Paul is addressing this issue, and I want to highlight a few things and define a few words before we move on. What is this word sin? What does that even mean? I remember growing up and hearing sin, and when you hear it, it's like, you kind of like, oh, I don't want to have that right. It's like, sin. But I want to give some clarity to what sin is. Sin is addressed 252 times in the New Testament, which means it matters to God. It's addressed 252 times in the New Testament, and it's a Greek word, and actually it's turned into an English word, which actually just means missing the mark. It got from this analogy, came from this analogy of archery. Anybody know archery in here? Anybody like going to the woods? Not me. You don't see many black people going to the woods. But I've heard. It's a great place. Okay, archery. Archery. They say if you go to the woods, right, imagine you're going, right? And imagine you're with a friend. It's a great sunny day, right? And you got your bow and arrow and you're going out, right? And before you shoot the shot, your friend wants to give you some instructions. He said, keep your eyes locked in on the target. And on the target is a bullseye. That's what you're aiming at, right? And you're shooting your shot. Now imagine you pull back like I would and you release. And the arrow goes off. It lands in the grass. It's off the target. Well, your friend would say, oh, you missed the mark. But in biblical times, if you did that, they would say, oh, you sinned, or oh, you sinner, you missed the mark. That's all sin is. Sin is missing the mark. Paul says we all have sinned. We all have missed the mark and fallen short of the glory of God. But then he comes into, don't just sin, but now that you are right with Christ, there's this word called righteousness, this straight word, this headed toward the mark. He said, don't sin, but live in righteousness, headed toward the mark, which is obedience in God. It's obedience. It's straightness. It's walking. It's loving God, loving myself so that I can love others. Sin is hurting God, hurting myself, and hurting others. Missing the mark. Our target is, how do I love God? How do I walk in righteousness? Verse 2, Paul answers the question. The question is, can I keep on sinning? Can I keep on doing me? Can I keep on being me? I love God, but I love doing me. I love God, but I like how I am. I love God. And Paul says, he answers the question. He says, you keep asking, can you keep on sinning? And Paul says, exclamation mark, by no means. By no means. We are those who died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? He says, nah, bruh. Nah, sis. Can I keep on saying, nah, hold on. No. By no means. It's a strong root word. He says, you are dead to sin. It's a strong word. You have to understand this. He says, you have to understand grace. You have to understand God's grace. It is, we are saved by faith through grace alone. That's how we are saved. Salvation. Grace is giving us what we didn't deserve. Favor. Mercy, not giving us what we did deserve. Mercy and grace says, mercy and grace shall follow me all the days of my life. We need mercy and grace every day. In order to understand missing the mark, I have to understand grace and mercy. It says, do I keep on sinning so that grace may keep on abounding? No. You've missed the understanding of grace. Let me keep on sinning because God covers me. Let me keep on doing what I want to do. God knows my heart. Let me keep on living how I want to live. God made me this way. Ooh. To understand what Paul means, it's helpful to understand what Paul doesn't mean. He doesn't mean we no longer want to sin. Anybody been saved and wanted to sin? Don't raise your hand. It's just me. It doesn't mean we aren't influenced by sin. It doesn't mean we kind of gradually move away from sin. He says we are no longer under the power of sin. He says, the moment you become a Christian, you are no longer under the reign, the ruling power of sin. He takes note in 5:21 previously, sin reigned, but also grace might reign. In other words, sin still has power, but it can no longer force its authority in my life. Verse 3. I'm going to try to move here. Verse 3. He says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism to death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of our Father, we too may live a new life. Watch this. Since we have been united, underline, circle, since we have been united with him, Christ, in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Understanding baptism, what Christ did. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection took on the penalty of death and sin. What we deserved, he took that on. When we receive Christ, he moves us, he moves in us and with us, and we also move in him and with him. It's a miraculous and mysterious way. When Jesus died, we die with him. When we did the act of baptism, it's a symbolism of dying with Jesus and being raised to eternal glory. Baptism says to the world, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was for me, making it a powerful step in our lives. It says that Christ lives in me and I live with him. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And though I walk in the flesh, I walk in knowing that Christ loved me and gave his life for me. No, I know I live in this world. I know sin will come. I know hardships will come. I know I walk in the flesh, but I live knowing what Christ has done for me. I'm so influenced by sin. It can still have an effect on me, but I'm no longer under the power of sin. I like this word united, which means grafted. It's like a branch being grafted into a vine. Think of a vine. When you receive salvation, you were cut off from your old self and now attached to something new. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branch. Abide in me. You're no longer attached to your old self. For Christ will hold us, sustain us as we walk with Christ. We are to abide in Christ. You have been grafted into a new relationship, into a new life, life with Jesus Christ. For we know, we keep going, 6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. I want to put that. We are no longer slaves to sin. But when we die with Christ, we're set free from the power of sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Write this down. Sin is a horrible master. Sin is a horrible master. If sin owns you, it leads to death. There is no life in sin, only death. It says, as we were slaves to sin, in verses 16, I'm gonna move that in, verse 16. It says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Whatever you obey, you are a slave to. There is hope. But whatever you are a slave to, whatever you obey, you are a slave to. You can either be slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. Either way, one of them owns you. For those who are trying to dissect this, those who are trying to figure out, I want to let you know, watch this, there is hope in Christ. There is freedom in Christ. I'm setting this up because I want you to remember, there is freedom in Christ. Even if you have been bound in sin, there is freedom in Christ. Even if you've been battling with addictions, there is freedom in Christ. He's trying to get us to understand. Don't be a slave to that thing. It only leads to death. There is no good thing when you serve sin. There was no good thing. It doesn't come out. It leaves us empty. Rebecca Manley, she says this, whatever controls us is our Lord. The person who seeks power is controlled by power. The person who seeks acceptance is controlled by acceptance. We do not control ourselves. We are controlled by the Lord of our lives. Whatever we seek out, we are a slave to. What are you seeking out? We are all worshipers. In fact, Paul says there are fundamentally only two kinds of masters or categories of slavery. You can be slaves to sin or slave to obedience. That's not cultural language, is it? You want me to obey? I don't obey nobody. I'm grown. I can make my own decisions. I can follow and say and do what I want to do. I don't know about you, but 2020 proved a lot of things. It proved a lot of things where your allegiance is. It proved a lot of things where your faith was. It proved a lot of things what was priority to you. It's pruned a lot of people. Because faith isn't coming to church. Faith is obeying God. Okay. I said the same thing as I was reading. This was for me too. Like, I gotta preach this. Mark 7:20, it says, and he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. Jesus is talking to his disciples. What is sin? And he talks about what comes out of a person. He says, from within, out of the heart of man, watch this, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and they defile a person. The biggest thing to sin is deception. Belief, I can keep on doing what I want to do with no regard what Christ has done for me. Pride. Envy. Theft, murder, adultery. It's a great checklist, isn't it? Great checklist. More and more as I get older, the more and more I want to please God and obey God. And the more and more I find that not everybody wants to please God. It requires a lot to follow Jesus. He says, I want your whole life. Not part of your life. Not parts you're willing to give. I want your whole life. Follow me. Are you willing to give up to follow me? Are you willing to let go and follow me? And guess what? For all the kids in the room, your parents' faith cannot save you. I love, my daughter is 8. She comes to church. She's starting, you know, mom and daddy work at church. She doesn't love always coming to church. Oh, I got to come to church. Yes, again, yes. But she's getting to an age where daddy's faith cannot save her. She's going to have to come to know Jesus for herself. It's a hard passage, but it's so true. It's something as believers, fathers, that we need to go back consistently. God, what are you asking of me? What are you requiring of me? Hey, I got a question. Can I keep on doing me? Can I keep on living how I want to live? Paul emphatically says, no. Deception is what sin does. How many know sin will have you feeling empty? You keep searching. You keep searching. And for a little bit, it'll feel good. For a little bit, it'll satisfy for a little bit. But then it wears off and shame starts to come. You keep trying to search. How can I get peace? And you keep trying to get peace and it wears off. So I got to keep on doing and keep on doing so I can fulfill the hole that's in my life. Sin leads to death every time. And deception, though, it'll come to you real subtle. It'll creep in. Just go ahead and do this. It won't hurt anybody. Go ahead and do this. No one will notice. No one will see. No one will find out. God understands. And it creeps in slowly. And as it creeps in slowly, and the more you're attracted to it, and the more you keep going, death ultimately comes. And he says, don't attach yourself to sin. For sin has no power over you. For attach yourself to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. For that is true life. For you will never hunger or thirst again. Those who seek me, those who come after me, you will never hunger and thirst again. But if you go a different direction, you miss the mark. If your steps keep going off from obeying God so that you can love yourself, you keep going the opposite direction, it ends in death. We've all been deceived at one point in time. Subtly been deceived. Some of you got, you know, I like this analogy I got. It's just when credit cards come and offers come and they say, hey, you have now been qualified for the latest credit card. You get all the points and all the rewards. And you're excited. You've been pre-qualified. I like the pre-qualified. And it looks shiny. It comes in the package. It even gives you your number in the card. And it says, here you go. You can go spend it. Spend it on whatever you want. You get excited. You take it. Oh, I can go charge. Boom and boom and boom. But what it doesn't tell you is that there's interest that you're going to have to pay back. There's a penalty for you using the credit card. That's what sin does. It's shiny. It says, hey, just come on and do it. You'll be okay. Just charge it, charge it, charge it. But it does not tell you that there is a penalty to sin. Deception. And it goes on to Romans 6:17. But it says this. Here's the good news. Thank God! Exclamation point. Once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey the teaching we have given you. Now you are free from the slavery to sin and you have become slaves to righteous living. I love that. Thank God that you are free from the slavery of sin. Rejoice in the Lord that you no longer are under the power or influence of sin. That's good news. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. God will not put more on you than you can bear. For when temptation comes, there is always a way out. It's a good father. Verse 9, it goes this for know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, this word, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This word, count yourselves dead, King James says, reckon yourself. Reckon yourself. Reckon means act as if, count on it, take it to the bank. Take it to the bank, what Christ has done for you. This is business transaction. Paul says 19 times, he says, don't go back to how you used to live, for you are Jameson, you are dead to sin, and now you have become alive in Christ. Don't go back to the old Jameson. Don't go back to the old ways, for that leads to death. But this is what you can count on. Take it to the bank, what Christ has done for you. Paul says, don't go back to your old ways. Don't go hanging back to your old patterns, the old ways that you used to live. Because sin puts us in the dark. It puts us in isolation. It brings on shame. It brings on condemnation. He says, that's not what Christ has for you, for there is freedom in Christ, what he has done. Paul continues. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. 13, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. That's huge. That's good news. Don't let sin be your master. For you're no longer under law, but under grace. Should I keep on sinning? No. Because of God's goodness and grace, my response is, God, how do you want me to live? How do you want me to move? God, check everything in my heart that does not align to you. I don't want to miss the mark. I don't want to miss the mark. Show me where I'm not honoring you. Because if I'm not honoring you, I'm not honoring myself, I'm not honoring others. Show me where I hurt you. Because if I hurt you, I hurt myself and I hurt others. Show me. Show me. Because there's not good in me. I want to sin. We come out sin. Sin, selfish in nature. We come out sin. I don't have to teach my daughter how to lie. I got to teach her how to tell the truth. And I keep asking, how did she learn how to lie? How did she learn how to be selfish? I didn't teach her how to be selfish. How did she learn? We all have sinned. We all have sinned and fallen short. I've missed the mark. Let me drive this home. Verse 20, love. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. When you were not following Christ, you were under no obligation of sin. You didn't even know you were sinning. You were just having a good time doing you. You don't care who you are hurting. You don't care not obeying God. It's like you had no obligations. That's why I laugh at Christians when they get mad at people who are unbelievers. They're doing what they need to do just like you did. But when we get saved, we want to get judgmental. Go destroy those people. You were those people. Were you not? But now he says, now that you are a follower of Christ, don't live like that. It's been revealed what Christ has done for us. If I want to pray as I close, I want to pray. Because I know there are people in here who came in with bondage. I know there are people in here who've been wrestling with addictions. I know there are people in here who've been wrestling in their faith. I know there are people in here who came in shame on them and condemnation. I know there are people in here, but I love 22. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and a result to eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We have freedom in Christ. You have freedom in Christ. You have freedom in Christ. No shame, no condemnation. For I want you walking out of here with your head held high, saying, I'm free. I'm free. In fact, I want you to say it with me. Say, I'm free. Some of you ain't never said it in a long time. Even saying that, I'm free. I think I'm free. No. He says, you are free in Christ. I want you to hold your head up high. Put your shoulders back a little bit. I want you to say, I am free. I am free. I am free. That's good news. That's good news. Good news. Good news. It's good news. Woo. It's good news. Every time I want you leaving here, knowing the hope of Christ, what he has done for you. Every time I want you leaving here, never under condemnation, but understanding the goodness of God's grace that he has for us. Every time, if you're not a believer, I want you knowing Christ's love for you, God's love for you. I want you understanding what he did just for you, that you don't have to live under condemnation, but under freedom in Christ. Would you bow your heads as I pray? God, thank you for your word. Thank you for answering questions that we all wrestle with. We may not agree with your answer, but thank you for answering with clarity. God, I pray for those in the room who are struggling with addictions, who are struggling with some areas in their life. God, I pray freedom in their life right now. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I speak against condemnation. I speak against shame. And God, would they come to understand who they are in you, their identity as sons and daughters, the Most High. When we leave here this morning with our heads held high, knowing what you have done for us, knowing that where their sin, grace abounds even more. We live in this knowledge, not just for a moment, but for our everyday life. For our everyday life, when temptation lurks its head, when the enemy tries to steal our joy and to kill our identity and to rob us of our peace and our joy, we'll be reminded that we are free in Christ. I pray that not only we believe it, but we speak it. Live it every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Isn't God good? God is good. God is good. God is good. I don't know if you got a communion, but this is what a great message to go into communion. If you did not receive a communion cup, raise your hand if you wish to have one. Raise your hand if you wish to have one. This should be right. There you go, Tim. Hey, Tim, we got something right here. Raise your hand. You can grab one. Got one over here. One right here. There you go. All good. Amen. Here's what I love about communion. It's a moment to remember what Christ has done. I don't think we've taken communion together in a while, but I love this moment. It's a moment with you and God. And some of you need to maybe confess some sin. Maybe say, God, would you forgive me? It says, if you confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And watch this, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Moment with you and God. We'll just take 30 seconds. 30 seconds with you and God this moment. Maybe you've never called on the name of Jesus. You can call on his name right now. If you believed, you will be saved. Thank you.